Again, we're going to have the privilege of looking into the Word of God, and that is always a very distinct and wonderful privilege, because that is God speaking to us. And we can't be in any better position in this world than when God speaks to us. Now, we're going on in Jeremiah chapter 12, and we are learning more and more about what God would say to us through these chapters. We have learned, you know, that as we look at Jeremiah, that God is speaking in parables or in metaphors. In other words, God is talking about national Israel. Jeremiah, who has written the book of Jeremiah, is an Israelite speaking to Israel of his day, or Judah of his day, which is about to be destroyed by the Babylonians because of Israel's rebellion against God. The consequence of this is that they will cease to be a nation. They're going to go into captivity. However, we have learned that Christ spoke in parables. Christ spoke in parables, and therefore, as we look at this, we recognize that this actually is in the form of a historical parable, that it is using the nation of Israel, or the nation of Judah, as God is dealing with them, as an example, but it is focused finally on the end of the church age. Now, I want to take just a little bit of a detour and go through this statement again, which I have gone through from time to time, but it's super, super important. One of the most terrible things that has happened in the local congregations, and this unfortunately is true in virtually every local congregation, there may be an exception, but I don't know where it is. I do know in the major denominations that this is true, that they have decided on a hermeneutic that they hold to very slavishly, very tenaciously. Hermeneutic has to do with the science of Bible interpretation. How are we to understand what the Bible is saying? And God has given us very clear instruction as to how to understand the Bible. God has told us what kind of a hermeneutic to follow. And when we look at that, remember, if we go back to the Gospel of Mark, we read there that in Mark chapter 4, verse 34, that Jesus said, "Without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all of these things to his disciples." And this is the Word of God. This is God speaking. And when we take this in hand, recognizing that Christ is the Word, that the whole Bible is the Word of Christ, remember John 1 says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, then this principle applies to the whole Bible. Mysteriously, however, and you wonder how this is possible, but all through most of the church age, this was not true early on, but beginning about 400 AD and there on after, right down to the very present day, the churches have developed a hermeneutic which they call the grammatical historical method of interpretation. And virtually every denomination has adopted this. Now, this hermeneutic effectively is saying that we are to look for the literal meaning of whatever is in view and not seek any other meaning if one meaning is already offered. For example, if God said, "This is a parable," and he discusses the parable of the sower that went out to sow. All right, God is saying this is a parable, so we look for the spiritual meaning in the verses that identify with what Christ is going to say about the parable of the sower. But on the other hand, when we look at the raising of Lazarus in John 11, it's obvious that God is saying that here is Christ raising a dead man to life. indicating that he has power to give physical life. According to the historical method of interpretation, this means that we are not to look for anything more in that particular historical piece of information. We're not to try to find something spiritual about that. God has declared it very simply, very clearly, right there for us to look at. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Christ raised him from the dead. He has power to give life to the physical death. According to the biblical or the hermeneutic of the churches, they cannot go beyond that. Now, in other words, they cannot see that Christ spoke in parables and that this is a historical parable. True, it's a true fact of history. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but the fact is, what is the gospel message through this? We always have to find the gospel message. But they're unable, absolutely unable. When I say they, all of these pastors and Bible teachers who are holding to this hermeneutic that all the seminaries hold, certainly the Reformed seminaries do, and the Lutheran seminaries and so on, and the Baptist seminaries, they all hold to this. They cannot go beyond and look for the gospel meaning, because that would be contrary to their hermeneutic. And you see, what has happened is that they have established a method of Bible interpretation that has closed out a great part of the Bible. It's amazing that this has happened, because they cannot prove from the Bible that their method of Bible interpretation is correct. In other words, they have no biblical authority. If they could go to verse after verse laying it out, the reason we've come to this method of interpretation is because of what the Bible says here and what it says there and what it says in the other place. That isn't the case. They simply have adopted this as a theological principle. This is the hermeneutic. And they stick slavishly to it. And that is why when we come along with our studies in Jeremiah, for example, any of these pastors are locked out. They listen and they say, no, we can't listen to that, because that does not fit under our hermeneutic, our method of Bible interpretation. These people are reading these verses in Jeremiah or Isaiah or wherever else they are looking, and they are seeing not only the historical record, sure, it's a true fact of history that this happened and that happened, but they're also reading into that a spiritual meaning. They're seeing spiritual dimension there. They are seeing the gospel in this that our hermeneutic will not permit. And it's truly baffling. It's truly baffling, because they have stonewalled themselves by a man-made hermeneutic. It is not coming out of the Bible. This just is absolutely baffling that this has happened. And yet God has prepared for this. We read in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has just given the parable of the sower that went forth to sow, and he says in verse 9 of Mark 4, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Oh, okay. God is teaching that only those to whom he has given ears to hear will they be able to hear. In other words, God knows from the beginning who are the elect of God. And he intends that their spiritual ears will be opened at some time in their life, and God will apply the word to their heart. Not that they will have understanding, but that they will have spiritual ears that will give access of God to the heart of that individual, and God will apply that word to the heart of that individual, and he will become saved. But once he's become saved, then he now has access to the whole gospel of the Bible, because he's a child of God. He's open to the whole word of God. And so he says in verse 10 of Mark 4, "And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked of him the parable." Now, how do we get alone with Christ? How do we get alone with Christ? By reading the Bible. This is the way we come to be alone with Christ. We don't get alone with him by going into a council of theological experts and try to find a consensus. What do you think this says? Or what do you think God is teaching? We come alone with Christ when we go into the Bible. Then he goes on, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables." Now, why did Jesus say that? All things are done in parables to those who are without. Without what? Without of what? They're not the elect of God who are still unsaved and still have to be brought into the kingdom, because they are going to be given ears to hear so that they will know the truth. Those that are without are those whom God has not elected to salvation, even though they think that they have become identified with salvation, they're still without. And how does God keep them in ignorance of the major truths of the Bible, or really understanding what the gospel really is? He says in verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing. I want to read verse 11 again so we'll get the context. "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parable." Parables. All things are done in parables. In other words, God's whole gospel message is permeated with parables. That's why he said a little later on, "Without a parable, he did not speak unto them." This is the way God wrote the Bible, and he wrote it with this way for the purpose of keeping in ignorance those whom he does not plan to save. It keeps them in complete ignorance. He says that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. In other words, here is the principle that God has laid down, that he has allowed the churches to come up with a hermeneutic that is not from the Bible, it's out of the mind of man, in which they don't understand at all that Christ spoke in parables all through the Bible. All through the Bible, that we are to look for the gospel that is hidden within the historical statement. And they cling slavishly to their hermeneutic, and in so doing, they remain in unbelief. They hear, but they don't understand. They see, but it doesn't register with them. They are left in the dark. It is really the hermeneutic of the local congregations that is the roadblock. They've stonewalled themselves by that hermeneutic. And by the same token, they have also put their trust in their own thinking. Their trust is not in the Bible. If they were really thinking it out, they'd have to ask. Now, we have taken a position that the book of Jeremiah or the record of the raising of Lazarus of John 11, or these five things will follow those that believe of Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, or the whole Bible is dripping with these kind of illustrations. We have taken the position that we just have to read these in a historical setting. And then they add to it, we have to think about what it meant to the person who was writing it, what did it mean to the people of that day, and so on and so on, because that's all they see. They're looking at the Bible like it's just a book written by men. And they don't understand. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God has to do with the gospel. This is a spiritual book. We should be able to find Christ on every page of the Bible. And if we haven't found him there, it means we haven't finished our study yet. Because this is what the Bible is. It is the Word of God that brings salvation, that warns of judgment, and so on. And they cannot see this. They read these accounts of what happened to Judah or Israel or anything else in the Bible, and all they can see is the historical statement. So it is a great and terrible pity. It is a great and terrible pity. And this is one of the reasons that God has brought judgment now on the churches, because they won't get rid of their hermeneutic. They just will not give it up. It's very interesting in these past years as we've been teaching the end of the church age and the latter rain and some of these things, how often callers will call on the open forum and say, you have the wrong hermeneutic. And from their vantage point, they're correct. It's there. To them, it's our hermeneutic is wrong. But from a biblical vantage point, we have the biblical hermeneutic, the method of interpretation, namely that Christ spoke in parables. And we are to find the gospel in everything place that we look. We have to find the spiritual meaning. And we're not going to get stonewalled by this idea you can only find one level of understanding in any verse. If it's taught you something very historical, then we can't find the spiritual meaning to it. Of course, we have to do it carefully. We have to be careful that we're checking through the whole Bible for our answers. We compare spiritual with spiritual. But this is the lock. This is why when you talk to your loved ones, and you grieve for them, and you just wish, oh, if only they could understand. But they're locked up by their hermeneutic. The pastor went to seminary, and at the seminary he was clearly taught, this is the grammatical hermeneutic. We follow the method of interpretation, and don't get out of it, because if you get outside of that hermeneutic, you're going to run into trouble. And yet they have absolutely no biblical proof, none, that their hermeneutic is correct. None. They are operating strictly from what mankind has decided. That has become their God. That has become what they're trusting in. And then, of course, they add to that the confessions that they are trusting in. And so now they have their gospel all developed, all set up. We have the confessions. We have the historical record of the Bible, of what God, how God worked with the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, and how he raised Lazarus from the dead, and so on and so on and so on. That's the gospel. And they haven't the slightest idea that the whole gospel permeates the Bible. The whole Bible is permeated with the gospel, that we can find Christ everywhere. And so now, when we go on in Jeremiah chapter 12, for example, and we make statements, anyone who is trusting in the church's method of interpretation will listen and they'll say, This is off the wall. This doesn't make sense. This I cannot agree with. I do not buy that at all. It is totally unacceptable. It's unacceptable to their human interpretation, according to their human interpretation. And they, rather than testing it against the Bible itself and discovering just why is it that it's always unacceptable, they are sticking to that particular method of interpretation. And only God can open their eyes. And God is opening the eyes of a few in the local congregations. But it's terrible to see how these denominations are clinging to this. And this has been the case for hundreds of years in the churches. This is what they've clung to. And in spite of that, as long as the church age was going on and the Bible was available there, in spite of that, God saved those whom he planned to save. Not because of it, not because they had the right hermeneutic, but in spite of it, God worked around it because the elect will become saved. No one can keep them from becoming saved. And of course, now that Christ has departed from the local congregations, there's no one there who is going to become saved. They still have the Bible there, but they're reading it again, totally from the wrong position of what Bible interpretation ought to be. Once again, we have come to the end of our allotted time for bringing this message, and so we have to make room for the next program. But we are not at an end insofar as what God is teaching us. That just goes on and on and on. And the Bible is a reflection of the infinite mind of God, and therefore we will never cease to learn from the Word of God. And so we look forward to the next study, when again we're going to learn what God has to say to us from His Word.